Well, please turn with me to John chapter 4 and verse 10. John chapter 4, verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, the woman of Samaria, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Well, my topic and title for this evening's message is taken from this verse. If you knew, you would ask. If you knew the gift of God, surely you would ask. If you knew who was standing before you and offering what he is offering to you, surely you wouldn't let the opportunity pass you by. You would ask him and he will give you. It's a promise. You ask him and he will give you this living water. Well, this encounter with the Samaritan woman took place as Jesus was traveling back to his home region, to Galilee. He's now in Samaria at a city called or town Sychar, and his disciples have gone into the town to buy food. Jesus is sitting by the well, and this Samaritan woman comes to the well to draw water, as she does every day. Always she's doing that. Don't know how many times a day she came, but it's midday and she comes to draw water, and the Lord asks her for a drink. He says in verse 10, give me to drink. And she's surprised. She's surprised because she knows, she can tell he's a Jew. She can tell by his clothing, maybe by his looks, he's a Jew. And she's a Samaritan woman. And, well, they never had anything to do with each other. These two ethnic groups never mixed with each other. That's an understatement, because they actually hated one another. They often, in fact, the Jews wouldn't even go through Samaria. They would skirt around the region just because they didn't like the Jews, the Samaritans, and they hated them. But that's why this lady, she's so surprised and taken aback. How come you're even talking with me and asking me and requesting this for water from me? And the Lord's response is, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now, we're not going to look at the whole of this dialogue between the Lord and this Samaritan woman. We're just going to look at this initial part, this beginning of the conversation, I think will be enough for us tonight. Jesus said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God. Here is something she didn't know. Here was something that she was unaware of. She wasn't an illiterate woman. She was a mature woman. She had many life's experiences. She was somewhat religious, as we found, as we read later, when she asked the Lord about worship. So she's maybe an intelligent woman in many ways. But here is an area where she is somewhat ignorant. Here is an area where she doesn't know very much about the gift of God and who it is who was talking to her. She thought Jesus was just an ordinary man. And friends, you know, the same can be said for us. We may know many things about life. We may know how to make money. We are good at making money. We know how to be successful. We know how to handle whatever problems life throws at us. We are able to do certain things, but there's a wide, big gap of our knowledge. We don't know about spiritual things. We're unaware, totally oblivious, maybe. Maybe we have some idea, But it seems like we are unaware of how to walk with God and to be in a right relationship with Him. Maybe totally unaware of spiritual things altogether. It might be you never had the privilege of being brought up in a Christian family. Maybe you were brought up in a country which was atheistic and never talked about God, and your teachers never spoke about God, and your friends never spoke about God, and you never went to church because that was not the thing to do, and so you never heard about these things. But still, friends, we have a conscience and a sense of God given to us. But we may be unaware of so many important things in life. We may be unaware that we have a soul as well as a body. We think maybe everything is just material, everything is physical, everything is just biological. That's all there is to life. We're just a compound of chemicals that have been evolved over time, millions of years, they say. We've evolved in this material world. That's all we are, just material. And one day, this material substance will die, will perish, and that's it. That will be the end of my existence. I will no longer be in existence. But the Bible says, no, there is another part to you. You have a soul. You have an immortal soul. That is a soul that goes on forever and forever and forever. A soul that will not die. A soul that God has put in each one of us that cannot die. This is us, friends. It's not a material substance, the soul. It's immaterial. You can't find it. You can open up your body and you can very easily locate your heart. And you can locate the organs in a person's body. Oh, here's the heart, here's the lungs, and so on. But you can't do that with the soul. You can't find the soul inside you, and yet you know it's inside you, but you can't find it. It's invisible, friends. It's immaterial. You cannot touch it. You cannot feel it. It's something, though, that is inside of you. Dear friends, the soul is the real you. It's the real person. It's you. It's not your body so much. It's your soul. It's that reasoning part of you, that thinking part of you, that imagining part of you, that feeling part of you, that emotional person who's within you. That's your soul. That's you. You know, we often say to people, oh, you hurt me with your words. Your words were so provocative or hurtful. Who was hurt? It's not our biological bodies which are hurt. Our feelings, we say, are hurt. It's me, the person inside. I was hurt. The soul, you could say, was hurt. Don't you feel this sometimes, friends? Don't you feel it sometimes that you are inhabiting a body? That you're in a capsule, as it were, in a body? And you're just looking out onto the world, looking outside, you can see everything. That's your soul, that's you, looking out from within. Dear friends, this is what the Bible teaches us. We are more than body. We are a soul. We have a soul that will never die. Perhaps we are unaware that there is a God. Shouldn't be. And go through whole life without realizing that there is a God. Oh, everything can be explained by science, by reason. Everything can be explained. We don't need God to explain, to give us a reason. Friends, science cannot explain everything. It says it can. Don't believe it. Even the scientists, you know, are still confused as to the origins of life. All the evolutionary scientists, they've all got different opinions about life, where life began. There's no consensus.
There's no saying, well, there's just, everyone doesn't believe just one particular way. There's a different ways, variety of ways that they believe.
Well, how can we trust these friends? Friends, there's so much evidence to prove to us, to show to us that there is a God.
You look more and more that we learn about our bodies and the human cells.
Well, the more we're discovering, the more we realize how complex just one single human cell is in our body. And there are 40 trillion cells in our body. And one is so complex and so intricate in its working. They say that a car has around 30,000 parts to it. But one human cell has more. And just as an engine, well, we know an engine is very, a car engine, well, that's got so many parts to it, and all the parts have to come together and work together. If some of the parts are missing, well, that engine ceases to work. And it's a very complex piece of machinery. But even in one cell, there are so many machines, as it were, working, more complex than the car engine. More complex, friends, just in one cell. And here are 40 trillion cells in each and every one of us. Chance? How can it be chance? Must be design. It must be a maker behind it. Oh, friends, even so many scholars have said, if Charles Darwin knew in his day what we know today and about cells and other advances we've made in true science, he wouldn't have held to evolution. He would have torpedoed his evolutionary theory into oblivion. But we still want it. We still want to hold on to it. We still want it because we want a human explanation. We want to have an explanation where there is no God connected with it. We don't want God to give us the explanation. That's why we're so adamant to stick to these things, even though the evidence points to a designer and a creator. Oh, friends, maybe we are unaware also of other things. Perhaps you do believe in God, but perhaps the idea that you have of Him is that He's distant, He's far away, He's not a close God, He's far removed from us. Yes, He's a powerful figure, but He's so far away. You just see Him in the corner of your eye vaguely, and you deal with Him in that way. You're unaware, friends, that He is a personal God. He is a God who speaks to us. He is a God who communicates with us. He is a God who has been communicating with people since the beginning of time. He's always been speaking into our world. In fact, when you read this account of Jesus with the woman, what is it but a picture, a small picture of what God has been doing down through the centuries? God coming to man to speak to man, just as Jesus came to this woman to speak to her. Oh, friends, if only I knew this, that God is a personal God, surely you would ask Him for life. Surely you would ask Him for blessing. Lord, surely you would say, come near to me, speak to me, let me hear your voice. Oh, friends, are you aware that the Bible is no ordinary book? The Bible is God's Word. That's how God speaks to us primarily and principally today, through His Word. And in it, He reveals to us things that we couldn't find out by ourselves. He reveals to us His character, that He is a holy God, perfectly holy. Not one blot on his character, on His attributes. He is a holy God who must punish sin. He cannot sweep sin under the carpet. He cannot turn a blind eye to sin. He must punish sin. And because we are all sinners, well, He must punish us. Unless we turn to Christ, unless we obtain forgiveness from Him before we leave this world.
It's so urgent, friends. It's so urgent for us to be right with God. This Bible is wonderful. It's wonderful. There's no book like it, because it alone gives us the answers to life, the answers that we've been asking for all ages. The answers are found here, revealed to us by God, not a man's idea, but what God has revealed to us. Oh, I can only mention one or two. Why is there so much evil in the world? Why? Some people, I was hearing about an author, I don't want to go into it very much, but I heard about an author, and he's written a book, and it was the fight of good against evil. Another story along those kind of lines. An interviewer asked him, well, what triumphs in the end? And he was trying to have a true reflection of mankind. He was thinking mankind's apocalyptic. It's going to destroy itself. But what's going to happen in the end of... And he indicates love is going to triumph. Love is going to triumph. Man is going to get the better of his evil part. Really? With all the wars that we're seeing even now in the world and the genocide, is man getting better? Is love triumphing? No, doesn't look like it. Well, the Bible gives us a different answer. Why do people die? Why are people dying? The Bible answers, why do I lose my temper? Why do I feel resentment when I'm offended? Why do I feel eaten up by envy when I see other people prospering and others doing well? Well, the Bible gives us the answer to these questions. Oh, friends, am I aware? Perhaps I'm unaware of this, that the door to heaven is open for you. The door to heaven is wide open, and God invites you to come in. It won't stay open forever, but it's open now. Am I aware of that? I have an opportunity to go to heaven. Perhaps you've gone 20, 30, 40 years, I don't know how long, and you never realized this, that I can go to heaven when I die, that I can enter into that happy place, that holy place, prepared for all who will trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. A gift from God, and I don't know about it. I'm unaware of it, totally unaware. Oh, how much we miss out on. Well, you see, this woman, she was unaware of these things, the gift of God, and who it was who was talking to her. She was totally unaware of who she was speaking with. Oh, yes, she could detect from his clothing and from his looks and his speech, she could detect that he was a Jew, but that's it. She didn't realize she was talking with the Christ, the Messiah, at least not initially. Later on, she did. And so the Lord said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Perhaps it's the same with us. Maybe you're unaware of Jesus, who he is, and what he can do for you. That he is God. He's not just a good man. He's not just a good example. He's not just a kind man. He is all these things. But he is the Son of God who came from heaven and entered into our world, took upon himself a human body, and lived amongst us and died for us. God came to us. Christ, the second person of the Trinity, he has the authority, friends, to forgive sins. He has the power and the authority to forgive people's sins. And it's an authority that he has earned by his very going to the cross, by his death on the cross. He has earned that right to forgive people's sins, because there on the cross, he was dying. He was taking upon himself the penalty of people's sins, the penalty for all who will believe in him. Dear friends, don't get it wrong. The Lord Jesus didn't die for everyone in the world. He only died for those who will trust in him, only for those who will believe in him. If you trust in him, then he has borne the penalty for your sins. So he has this authority. He's also, friends, our judge. At the end of time, the one that we must stand before is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then this person, oh, he has the power to transform your life, to change your life completely, to turn your life upside down in the right way, or turn it the right way up, we should say. The Lord Jesus Christ has this power to give you a spiritual life, a new life. What an opportunity for this woman. God drawing near to her and offering her life. Oh, you may say, if only I had an opportunity like that. If only I had a chance to meet Jesus and have this one-to-one with him and speak face-to-face with him. Oh, if only I had such a chance, then I would believe, then I would ask of him for life. But friends, you do. You have this opportunity. You are given opportunity after opportunity. The Lord comes to you. Yes, he doesn't come directly to you. He doesn't come personally, physically to you. But now he comes to us through other people. Now he comes maybe through a friend who tells you about him, through a friend who tells you the gospel and shares with you the gospel. He comes to you, friends, through the preaching of the word. As you're listening to this sermon, oh, if you could listen and take it, not as my words, the words of a preacher, but if you could listen and say, this is what the Lord is calling me. And it is. It's his way of calling people to himself. It's his way of saying, if thou knewest the gift of God, you would ask. You would ask. Oh, friends, sometimes the Lord calls to us through troubles and sicknesses, even because we're a little bit difficult to get through. And he uses trouble and sickness to make us realize that there is more to life than just this world. Oh, Lord, oh friends, we need the Lord. What an opportunity we have. If you knew, he says, the gift of God, that is salvation, and a relationship with God, then he would give us this living water. This living water also, this spiritual life, this relationship with him. He refers to this living water again in verse 14. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Water to make you clean from all your sins. Water to quench your thirst. Water to give you spiritual satisfaction, contentment in life. Oh, friends, something that will be in you. Life in you. A new life that you will go with you wherever you go. That's what the Lord said here. It will be in you. Something that is internal, not external. Oh, how often we seek our joys in the things which are external to ourselves. But here is the Lord giving us life, a relationship with him. Wherever we go, we have this communication with him. We have this contact with him. Oh, friends, if you knew, you would ask. That's all you have to do. You only have to ask him for it. He's made it so simple. How are we to obtain this living water? How are we to obtain a relationship with God? Well, friends, so simple, so easy. Ask, the Lord says. Ask and I will give you the living water. Will you ask? Will you ask him tonight, friends? Ask him for it. Or will you say no? Perhaps you won't ask because you don't believe. You don't believe these things. You don't believe what Christ can do for you. You don't believe maybe you need forgiveness. You don't believe that there is such a thing as heaven. So you won't ask. You refuse to ask. Unbelief keeps so many people from asking. Maybe it's because of pride. You said, no, I want to do everything by myself. I'm not going to ask. To ask is to beg. I cannot beg. I cannot get down on my knees and beg, or even of God, this thing. I won't ask. Oh, friends, if we are too proud to obey, to beg the Lord for salvation, then it will never be given to us. It's a gift, and we must receive it as a gift. It's freely given to all those who simply ask for it. That's the one thing that you must do. Turn from your sins, repent of them, and ask Him to save you, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you ask sincerely from your heart, and you mean what you say, He will hear your prayer, and He will grant you this living water. Oh, friends, why won't you ask? Why won't you ask? Is it because you're content with this life, with a mundane life that we're living without God? It's a mundane life. Just look at this woman. We have a picture of it here. She comes to the well once, twice, maybe three times a day. The next day she's back again at the well, once, twice, three times, back home to the well, back home, and other things in between. It's mundane, it's the humdrum of life. That's it. Are we content also ourselves with a humdrum life? Content to live in this low level? Just happy to carry on with things as they are? When the Lord offers to us something better and higher, and a relationship with Him, and the knowledge of Him, and the answers and explanations to life's questions. Oh, there is so much to knowing Him. Friends, this is a window of opportunity for you. Right now, even through this message, you may take this opportunity, hear again the Lord calling you. Ask Him even now where you are for forgiveness. Ask Him for salvation. Ask Him to forgive. Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry for the way I've lived my life. I'm sorry I won't go on in this way any longer. Oh Lord, save me. Oh Lord, take me to heaven. Oh Lord, forgive me and grant me a new beginning, a new life. Oh, don't let opportunities pass you by. Don't think it's nothing, friends. You know, who knows if you will get another opportunity again. Life is so uncertain. If I came to your door and knocked at your door, knock, 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 well, maybe you don't want to open the door to me. Maybe the next day I will come to your door again, knock, 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 and you still don't want to open the door to me. Maybe the following week I'll say, I'll try again. Knock, knock, knock. Still, you don't want to open the door to me. You see me through the window. You know I'm there. You don't want to open. And then maybe I say, I'll try in 2 weeks' time. And you still don't open. And a month's time, you still don't open. Oh, I'm not going to come back. In fact, that's probably an exaggeration, going day after day. I probably won't come back. I very quickly give up. But God comes knocking at our doors, friends. He comes knocking at our hearts. Will we open to Him, or will we keep the door closed and not let Him in? He won't keep knocking. Or if He does, you probably will only hear it very faintly if you keep resisting. Something happens to us, friends, when we keep resisting the Lord's call. You know what happens? Our hearts become a little bit harder every time we reject. We hear that knocking, we hear His voice even more faintly. It becomes faint and more faint every time, and we lose our inclination to love the Lord, to turn to Him, becomes less and less the more often we reject His call. That's what happens, friends. Oh, if the Lord is stirring your heart, and you feel in your heart, even tonight, I must get right with God, then seek Him. And look to Christ and take up His word and go get alone with the Lord and tell him these things. Here is an offer from God that we shouldn't refuse. There are some offers in life you can refuse, but here is an offer from the living God to each one of us personally. If you ask, he will give to you living water, life from above, a spiritual life, forgiveness of all your sins, and a home, a place in heaven above. Let's pray, friends, together. O Lord, our God, come and work most graciously in each one of our hearts. Come and turn us again by thy Spirit and word to thyself. And Lord, we want to be those who are found in thee. We want to be those who are found in Christ today and even on the day of judgment. Lord, we pray, come and help us each one. Draw us to thyself, that we may be in that right living relationship with thee and know the joy and the blessedness of sins forgiven, peace with thee, and thy blessing upon our lives. We pray and ask these things in our Saviour's name. Amen.